Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we kneel before you, we pray that you incline your ear to listen to us. But we cannot say things in the way that we should, for we are but humans. But we pray that you will hear our prayers, hear our concerns, and hear our praise to you. We so much desire to have that close relationship with you, so close that we will demonstrate your love to those around us. We have meetings which we're planning. May those that meet us, those that talk to us, our friends that we meet, inspire us with your Spirit to tell them of the meetings, and may your Spirit impress them to come. Lord, there are people up here in front which have special requests. Also, special thanks. And now, let each one of us lift our own single voices to you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And let each one of us now say the Lord's Prayer as we conclude. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
As you will probably know, I am not Elder Reed Tate, but I will be sharing the children's story this morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Pretty good. I have a question for you. Who is the light of the world? Got any other answers? Jesus, she says. Matthew 5 tells us that we are the light of the world, but you are right. Jesus says, he also says that I am the light of the world. But that's, I think, an interesting comparison, that he says he's the light and so are we. And I'll get back to that in a minute. Now, the story I'm about to share is a true story, and it comes from somebody I met recently. His name is Tim Riesenberger, and he's a doctor. But there's something special about his ministry, because not only is he a doctor, but he goes on a mission trip every single month. And this story comes from one of his mission trips that he went to in South America. And when he went, he was sitting there. They had been to church there, and it was just after sundown. They were having a Vespers program, and they began doing the announcements. And they were sharing that they were going to be having a book that they were going to be studying, and it was going to be the Great Controversy, and to get the books now for when it was going to be starting the next corner, which was about a month away. And he heard two church members sitting next to him who were saying, "Oh, I wish we could have that book." And he said, "Well, you've got a month. Why don't you get the book? It's going to be your book you're going to be studying." And they said, "Well, we can't afford that book." And this was not a hardcover first edition Great Controversy. This is a paperback edition from 40 years ago or something like this. And they said, "Even though it's only one of your American dollars or something like this, we could work from now until the next month and not have enough money for that book." And he started thinking about this, and he said, "Well, what would you do with it if you had that book?" They said, "Oh, we would study it. We would make sure we were ready every single time for our study time, and we would share it with our friends and our family." And so he started to think about this. So he went back to his hotel room and he got two copies of The Great Controversy and he gave it to these two church members. Now he saw them about 3 days later, and I don't know if you've ever given or gotten a book, but not always when you give or receive a book is it read immediately. But when he talked to them, he decided to ask them, you know, have you guys looked at the book? And he said, oh yeah, we've been reading it. And we've been sharing it with our friends and with our family members and our neighbors. And he was just amazed. And the most impressive thing about this story is not that they received the book and did what they said that they would with it, that they would read it and be ready and share it with others. But the most impressive thing is who these two church members were. Their names were Corey and Heidi, and they were 10 and 6 years of age. So any of you guys around the ages of 6 or 10? Yeah. So you guys can do what you can, what the Lord has given you to do, to share. Now when I said, we are the light of the world, Jesus has the real light, but he gives that to us to share with others. So just remember that you guys can do whatever you can, whatever the Lord has given you, to be able to share with your friends, family, and neighbors. And you can be the light of the world too. All right, you guys can go back to your seats.
Thank you, David and Nancy. The scripture is found in 1 John 1, and I will read 1 and 3. 1 and 3. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Good morning. And happy Sabbath. I was this message sort of came out of something that I encountered at GYC, that is formerly the General Youth Conference and is now currently the Generation of Youth for Christ. It is an annual national Adventist youth conference. It's almost worldwide because people come from all over the world, folks from Iceland and Africa and others. But this year, they hold it in a different place every year, and this year it was at Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there were in excess of 4,000 or 5,000 people there, generally all right around my age. And it's quite a blessing to see that many young people dedicated. And in fact, I was hearing Dr. Samuel Pippum speak at the Great Lakes Youth Conference down at Bering Springs, and he said the previous year in Baltimore, there were 4,000 or 5,000 young people there as well, and they took up an offering composed of mostly people my age or younger, academy, university age, and the offering was about $100,000. So just the dedication of young people is exciting to see in that kind of setting. So this kind of came out of it. This is one of the seminars that I attended by the same gentleman that gave me this children's story. His name is Tim Riesenberger. As far as I know, he's not a pastor, but he is a physician, as I mentioned, he has made a commitment to the Lord to do, with the funds that he receives, a mission trip for about a week or two every month. And he just shares the things that he does with that. This is kind of one of the things that he's come across in his ministry. But if you'd like to bow your heads with me one more time, I'd like to say a prayer before I begin. Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. The Sabbath has come upon us again. Lord, may we take advantage of all the blessings that you have for us in it. And as we wrap up this last year, Lord, may we be reflective upon what you have done for us and the things that we can do better in receiving the gifts that you have for us and giving glory to your name. And may we look forward to a new year filled with the blessings, the growth of character that you have prepared for us, Lord. And may we miss none of these opportunities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, that's where I'd like to begin. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. Probably a very familiar story to many of you. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. This is Jesus as he's coming on the way to the house of Jairus for his daughter. And on the way, there's a crowd around him, and then the story picks up from there. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him," that is Jesus, "and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." So the story is familiar to us. She comes in the midst of the crowd, earnestly seeking Jesus. And when she finds him, she doesn't stop him and ask him to heal her. She merely has the faith to touch his garment, and she is healed. But the story continues. "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" And this is a pretty strange question, because there are people crowding all around him, people jostling back and forth. And so Peter, ever ready to speak, says, "When all denied that they had touched him, Peter said that they, that Peter and they that were with him," excuse me, "said, 'Master, the multitude throng and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' 'They have all touched you, Lord, nearest you,'" is what he's saying. "And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceived that virtue is gone out of me.'" So my question here this morning is, why did Jesus even bother? Why didn't he just let her be healed and go on her way? Of course he knew that she had been healed, but I think he had a purpose in singling her out and calling her forward. And if you look in verse 47, I think it tells us why. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." She shared the testimony of what the Lord had done for her. And that is what the Lord had designed her to be doing, was to share what God had done for her blessing and for the blessing of all those around her. And so this is sort of the focus of the message this morning, about sharing what the Lord has done with us. And I have a quote here in Desire of Ages chapter 347 on this very story. She says, "After healing the woman, Jesus desired her to acknowledge the blessing she had received. The gifts with which the gospel offers are not to be secured by stealth or enjoyed in secret. So the Lord calls upon us for the confession of his goodness. 'You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God.' Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old. But that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs. We each have a unique testimony, a unique blessing which the Lord has given us. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked by our own individuality. These precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls." And that's the title of the message this morning, Irresistible Witness. And that's one of the strongest things, according to this quote, that we can do in the work of saving souls, is telling people what the Lord has done, not for him or for her, but for me. And if you turn with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, another verse to this effect here, Peter talks about. Probably again another familiar verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." That do what is the question? "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Telling the things that God has saved us from and brought us into. Another quote that I found that's been a blessing to me. Gospel Herald, August 1, 1906, paragraphs 11 and 14. "David beheld the wondrous glory of Jesus Christ, and while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. How could he keep silent? He must give utterance. He must tell of the grand scenes opened before him, the power, the majesty, the glory of Christ. Who can behold the glory of our Redeemer and not speak of it? Who with the eye of faith can see his beauty and not extol it? Who can taste of his love and not adore him? The Lord God of hosts is his name. Even the chosen of God cannot give expression to the glory of his goodness and love. Language fails to reveal it. Lost in wonder, one of old exclaimed, "He is the chiefest among 10,000. Yea, he is altogether lovely. He is my beloved, and I am his." In the 145th Psalm, David offers him beautiful tribute of praise. Unable to find words to express what was in his heart, John calls upon all to behold him. We also are to open our lips in praises. From the heart subdued with his love, let expressions of adoration rise. Tell of his goodness, tell of his loveness. Extol his grace, magnify his lovely character. To the true believer, he is more precious than gold, even the finest gold of Ophir, yea, more precious to me than life itself. So basically, if the Lord means something to us, we will want to tell others. And it's given here sort of something that tells us, well, we can't really tell all of the good things that he has done. I believe it's Psalm 106 that says, "Who can show forth all his glory?" So it would be impossible for us to tell everything that God has done in its full extent. That shouldn't stop us. And Early Writings, page 114, under the subheading, "Meetings are interesting when everyone has something to say for the Lord." "The Lord has shown me that great interest should be taken by Sabbath keepers to keep up their meetings and make them interesting. There is great necessity of more interest and energy being manifested in this direction." Amen? "All should have something to say for the Lord, for by so doing they will be blessed. A book of remembrance is written of those who do not forsake the assembling of themselves together, but speak often one to another." That's in heaven, friends. "The remnant are to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Some expect to overcome alone by the blood of the Lamb without making any special effort of their own. I saw that God has been merciful in giving us the power of speech. He has given us a tongue, and we are accountable to him for its use. We should glorify God with our mouth, speaking in honor of the truth and of his unbounded mercy, and overcome by the word of our testimony through the blood of the Lamb." And finally, Psalm 116, if you'd like to turn there with me. Psalms chapter 116, beginning in verse 12. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Do we have benefits from the Lord? "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But not this only, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds." What is he saying here? "You have given me freedom, so I will tell it forth." Verse 17, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." He repeats it. "In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to have an opportunity for people to share the blessings that the Lord has given them recently. Kind of at the end of the year, I think it's appropriate to be sharing what has happened throughout our year. You know, what has the Lord done for us? And I want to take that opportunity to pass the mic around and see what the Lord has done for you. And I don't care how big or how small it is, the Lord has given us this opportunity to share with one another. But while you think about something the Lord has done for you, something I just picked randomly out of my year, right about in the middle of it, that the Lord blessed me with. Not sure if all of you know this, but when I came here in the beginning of June, I actually drove from Portland, Oregon. But before I went, I didn't cut straight across. I went down to Arizona first to see my father. And in my 1986 Chevrolet Celebrity station wagon, I took off from Oregon, Portland. It's the northern half of Oregon. And as I was coming down, I barely got over the border of Oregon before my car broke down. And So there I am in the mountains of California, as it were, and my car is not going anywhere. And so I'm calling people back home. I'm calling my dad, asking him, you know, what am I going to do? Going through diagnostics, seeing if it's anything simple, and nothing. And finally, I called my friend back home, a fellow college student back at the Mission College of Evangelism, and it turns out that he's from Redding, California. Now, that's kind of a ways away. It's about 100 miles or so, but it's still closer than my parents were. And so he calls his parents, and his parents rent a U-Haul dolly, drive about 80 or 100 miles one way, and come and get me. I spend the night at their house, and they drop me off at their mechanic in the morning. That was a blessing from the Lord. And that was just one thing the Lord has done for me throughout this year that I really found special, you know. He used somebody else to bless me that way. So I think that's a lesson for us, too, that we can be the instrument of the Lord in blessing others. And another short quote. Gospel Workers, page 171. Testimonies should be short and of a nature to help others. The prayer and social meeting should be a season of special help and encouragement. All should feel it a privilege to take part. Let everyone who bears the name of Christ have something to say in the social meeting. The testimony should be short and of a nature to help others. So what I want to do at this time is just see what the Lord has done for you this year. Have an opportunity for you guys to share, if you would be so kind as to do so. And I'd like to limit it to about 5 minutes at the most, you know, so everybody has a chance to share.
Well, most of you know that my husband is 100% surrendered to the Lord again. And our family is drawing closer day by day. He is truly the pastor of our home, the minister to us. And he calls us aside for worship and prayer. He tells our sons how much he loves them and is praying for them. It has really brought a beautiful change in our family structure. Our kids talk to us all the time now. We used to say, oh, we're all in the same room. We better take a picture, because it never happened. And now that's not something random or we plan it. And it was even by their suggestion that we plan a family night once a week. So we are truly blessed. Never stop praying for something that you think is impossible. And another lesson I learned just this week, we must stay in a attitude of praise so that the Lord can bless us. And that is so important when you are praying for individuals. But God has truly blessed our family, and I thank you for all of your prayers, because I know all of the concern that you have had for our family.
Any others?
Well, I think of the blessing of the young people. When I hear these young people and I see our group of young people in this church, I am thrilled. You know, people talk about young people and how many problems they had and everything, but I am thoroughly excited about our young people, those who are away at boarding schools, those who are a core group here in the high schools. I have seen the Holy Spirit work in the lives of these young people as they've committed publicly to serving the Lord. I have seen the Holy Spirit working in other areas. I see Carol Spearman back there, and I've seen how she's her daughter has grown through the years. And I told her that last week that she was one of the bright spots in my life. And I want to express to the Lord appreciation for our young people. And I've seen him work in other ways, too, in our church congregation. I've seen him take me through. As I get older, I have less problems, not so many any physical problems that I'm acquainted with, but more stress-related problems. And I've fussed about things all year, this, that, and the other thing. And the Lord, I don't know why I don't realize it, but every time he takes care of the things that I'm fussing about. And now we have three evangelistic things coming up. The Living Free, and then What's the Connection, a combination of Steve Vail and cooking classes, and then a major evangelistic campaign. And I've been in an absolute whirl with that. Stressed out. But the Lord, one step at a time, takes care of all my problems. And I want to learn to trust Him more. And I'm just excited about the way the Lord is working. I see a couple of the, at least one young man that's been helping us at our community services center sitting right there. This kind of thing is what excites me and blesses me. And I see your faces, and I appreciate every single one of you.
Any others like to lift their voices to the Lord?
I'm thankful for the Lord because a couple of weeks ago I had a car accident. Thank God I'm well and my car was fixed. But I thought I would have to pay for my vehicle to have a loaner car. But I think somebody's been praying really hard for me. I called the dealer and they got me in when they said they couldn't. They loaned me a car and they told me how much it was going to cost, and I prayed to God and I said, I can't afford this. The person at the dealer told me, I'll cover half. But I prayed again, and somebody must be praying for me too, because when I went to take back the loaner car, he told me it's covered. It was all covered. I didn't have to pay a penny for it. They took over the charge for it. And I know that that was a blessing from God.
I have a lot of things I could say. I appreciate Dorothy Dalton in front of me. She is one of the personal pastors of my life. And I appreciate Reed up there and the leadership that he's taken. I appreciate you, Russell. And as our church goes through changes and transitions, and now as we look into moving forward this next year with our evangelism and, you know, and seeing, I don't know what will happen, if we'll have a different pastor here or whatever. I just appreciate the strong leadership of our church, of people that love and care and keep us a team and keep us unified, keep us heading in the right direction, and just hold us together. With it means a lot to me, the leadership, and I know how much is invested in the time that's behind the scenes, and I come here and I just feel loved by your leadership, so thank you.
Any others? Incidentally, speaking of car accidents, about the middle of October, I got into one. I'm thinking, oh, great. But the, you know, of course, Michigan is no-fault insurance, and I didn't know that till I got in an accident. And evidently, there's some kind of clause that says if you only have liability, you automatically get $500. So I actually made a little bit of money. Any others?
This year for me has been, overall, I would say a victory over sins, like things that I would keep falling into. There's been one particular thing I've struggled with for years and years. And every time the new year comes around, you know, people make resolutions and things they want to change. Every year I would pray about this thing and say, Lord, I don't want to fall there this year. And every year I would do it again and get to this point and say, how could it have happened again? How could I forget how much I didn't want to do that? And for once this year, I look back and say, praise God, I didn't fall there. And there's actually been a few other smaller things too like that, but one in particular. And another thing too that God has done for me is sometimes, like, I can get spiritually stagnant where things aren't really impacting me anymore. I mean, I'm still, you know, having devotions and stuff, but especially personal testimonies really cease to affect me. And I'm thankful to God that He would bring about events in my life and take me to certain places that would open my heart again and warm it, just to really be in tune with others. And hopefully that He would be placing more of His love in my heart. And I'm just thankful that He keeps working with us wherever we're at. And He's willing to take us one step at a time. And you know, as we overcome one sin in our life, then He'll bring us to another area, and continue to show us new things. So I would encourage each one of you not to resist the Holy Spirit's working in your heart.
We have several things to thank God for. We've been doing a lot of traveling lately, my family and I, and He's just kept us safe. And through all the travels, we've kind of slipped in between ice storms and snowstorms and plane flights and long drives in the car. And He's just provided a clear path for us to travel on. So I'd like to thank Him for that. And also that He's just met our financial needs this year. But we've been able to have just live and raise two kids on one income with my wife staying home. And He's always provided for everything we need and even given us a little extra. So He's just been very faithful to us. And also the promise has meant a lot to me this year. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And I really come to see that that's true. No matter what we're going through or no matter what it might feel like, it may seem like He's a long ways away. But by faith, we can know that He will never leave us and He will never, ever forsake us. And I'm thankful for that. Also for faith, that He gives us the faith to exercise and something to have faith in, His Word. It is true that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I just want to ask you to pray for me and my family that we can have such an unshakable faith that we will trust in His Word no matter what may come in the future.
I wish I could tell you where my blessings began in 2007, but I can't. God has just been good moment by moment and day by day. But as I reflect back on some of them, my mind just kind of trips back to when I was a child, and I used to hear in meetings like this testimonies, and I remember thinking, boy, is that the truth, or are they just making that stuff up to have good stories to tell? But now that I've become older and I know Christ for myself, I believe that those stories that I heard then was nothing but the truth, because I've experienced so many of those great miracles and stories that I have to tell within my own life. And one that I can recall from 07 was our daughter was in a very bad accident. And it happened at a moment, it seemed like, when I was most unaware of what she might have been doing or where she was, and the state trooper called, and she had been in this accident, and I tell you, immediately, my mind just went blank. But when I began to think, it was like, oh God, what have you done about this? What are you doing about it? And just to hear how He allowed her to walk away from this terrible accident that had caused the expressway to be closed down for hours, and the car was upside down, and how they had to get her out, and she was able to actually be conscious when they brought her out and walked away from it without any major complications. But the greatest thing of that is that even though her dad and I couldn't be there with her, that God was there. Not only was He there to protect her, but the companionship that He shared with her during the accident is just miraculous within itself. And I just thank God for His goodness and for our family. And as I was reading over the scripture, one of the verses that we read was David was saying that his mom had raised him as best as she knew how. And I could relate to that, because that was exactly the kind of mother that I tried to be to my children, the best that I knew how. And it just makes me feel good to see how God has allowed them, even though we're separate by many hundreds of miles, to still love and respect and find a hunger in their heart to serve Him. So I bless Him for that.
I have so many blessings. And as I look around and I see each one of you, you are high on that list of blessings. I have been challenged. I have been encouraged. I have been comforted by members of this church. And I am just amazed. And many times I question, why did you bring me to such a cold place when I was nice and warm in Texas? But the warmth that I found with each one of you has more than made up for it. I'd like to share how the Lord has led in my life here just within the past few weeks. I was unaware that the pastor was going to make the decision that he had, And the Lord wakes me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Why 3 o'clock? I don't know, but that's His time to wake me. I woke up one morning at 3 o'clock, and Pastor and Aranea were on my mind so much. And I began praying for them. And during that time, the Lord said, you need to be praying for everybody in the church. And I said, everybody? I can do that, but it would be so much better if I had help. And He said, well, what's wrong with that? So that's where He gave me the idea for us to be praying for each other. And I'm thankful for that, because I have had several of you come up to me 1 week after we started praying for each other and say, I don't know what happened, but about Thursday, it was just like a weight was lifted, and I'm feeling so much better. You know, we need to be praying for each other now more than ever. And I encourage each of you who has taken a slip, pray for those individuals every day. We're going to do this for a month. And at the end of that month, we're going to have another testimony time. And that time, it will be how the Lord has worked in your life, answering a special prayer that you have for yourself. Thank you.
I remember in October, I saw the thing in the bulletin for the singles retreat. I'm like, I don't really want to go. And then when I went, I'm like, God, I know, brought me there. And I had a blast. I met a lot of new people, studied the word, and had so much fun with, and I met a whole bunch of nice people too. And I know God brought me there.
Any others? Speaking of prayer, there's a very powerful message shared at GYC by Elder David Shin. He's a pastor at Village Church in Berrien Springs. And he was just about the importance for a radical prayer life being linked to revival. That revival need only be expected when prayer is vitally a part of your life. And illustration he shared that really blew me away. If it were possible to fold a piece of paper 50 times, how thick would it be on the 50th fold? Any guesses? Wildest guess you can imagine. The distance between here and the sun. What's the point? Basically, something very small can turn into something very big. And that's our prayer life, and that's what it needs to be.
I think a heart attack is a blessing, but most of you know that my husband did have a heart attack earlier this year, and it was an answer to prayer. I had prayed for something little to maybe get him to change his life, and God didn't choose a little thing, but that's all right. It drew us closer in many ways. We're much more on a level plane than we used to be, and it also did some polishing on a rough diamond. God's work isn't done, but at camp meeting, he bought a Bible. That's the only first Bible he ever owned. He now has two because I found a police officer's Bible and gave it to him for his birthday. And even this morning, as tired as he was, he wanted to come to church. And he grabbed that Bible, and a few months ago, he wouldn't even attend a Sabbath school class. And he was sitting there, and he was looking up texts, which I had never seen him do before. And most of the time, I'm in the side room, so I don't always see that happen either. So keep him in your prayers.
Any others like to share what the Lord has done for them this year?
Well, Russell started out with his blessing on people helping him out. This happened this summer. I prayed for my brother and his wife for quite some time. We were down in Ohio, and on the way back to Coldwater, where he lives, my dependable Ford truck decided that it didn't want to go any farther. What I did, there was a trailer on behind. I stopped it and turned off the key, and went back to check everything back there, tightened a few things up, got back into the vehicle, and it would not start. It would not do anything. I mean, it was dead. And that thing has never done that to me before. So anyway, I decided I would saw a station and back, and so I walked toward the station. I got there, and it wasn't open. However, here was a couple that pulled in right beside me. And they said, "Are you having any problems?" So I says, "Well, yeah, my truck won't work." Well, she says, "You got about 3 miles to walk if you want any help at all." And she says, "But maybe we can help you." And she says, "My house is just back there, just in front of where your truck is." So my brother, he's still sitting in the truck. Anyway, I drove by and told him that I was going to take and call. And anyway, I got, she took me to, and the husband took me to the house, and they said, "Well, I got a brother, or a, I guess it was her son, really, anyway, that was a mechanic, and maybe he can come out and look at it." She says, "I'll give him a call." So anyway, that's what she did. She gave him a call, and he says, "Yeah, I'll come out and I'll take a look at it, you know." And of course, I'm seeing about $500, $600 bills, you know, because we're clear away from home and all of this type of thing. And I went and got my brother because it was hotter than hot, and they gave us some water to drink and so forth. We came back, and the guy showed up with the, he looked at it and so forth. He says, "Let's see, this is a Ford Ranger. I'll bet you you lost a fuse." Well, what was happening was it would not engage the starter, even though I wouldn't let me get out of park. You know, I couldn't move it. I couldn't do anything with it. Anyway, it turns out that there's a little fuse in there that I didn't even know existed. Anyway, and so he just went under there, took the fuse, put the fuse in, the things took right off and so forth like that. No charge or anything like that. But the thing I'm driving at here is my brother, who doesn't speak of religion at all, he says, "God was sure looking over us." I says, "Us?" I thought to myself. Man, maybe we're getting through to him yet. The Holy Spirit works in strange ways, and we had a good time going back home. But it was a witness that, you know, you never know how things and why things happen, but this lady showed up right at the right time. Everything worked out perfectly, and my brother was impressed with how the Lord works.
Amen. I was going to wrap up here, but I don't want to shut anybody out if they had one last thing they wanted to share. All right, my appeal will be twofold. Firstly, the Bible says, Psalms chapter 34 and verse 1, says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And I think that is something we as the people of God should take as very important in our lives, to always be giving an image to the world that God is doing us good and not evil, not be gloomy Christians. So to be a blessing to others by sharing with them what the Lord has done. And secondly, a quote in Desire of Ages, page 348, it's the next page of this chapter on the woman in Luke we read about. "It is for our own benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus faith is strengthened to claim and to receive more and more." Do we want more and more? "There is greater encouragement for us in the least blessing we ourselves receive from God." That's finding your car keys. That's finding that missing sock. That is the least blessing we ourselves receive from God. "There is greater encouragement for us in the least blessing we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts we can read of the faith and experience of others." That's reading of Martin Luther and of Wesley and of Miller and whoever. There's more in it for me if I know what God has done for me, because then it's real and nobody can take that from me. "The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. His health shall spring forth speedily. His light shall rise in obscurity, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon him. Let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies. Like the people of Israel, let us set up our stones of witness and inscribe upon them the precious story of what God has wrought for us. And as we review his dealings with us in our pilgrimage, let us, out of hearts melted with gratitude, declare, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So two things. Share with others what God has done for you. Dare to be a blessing to them. And in doing so, be blessed yourself. Remember what God has done for you. And so in those times of discouragement, you can remember, yeah, God can take care of this. Is that your desire, friends? If that would be, just raise your hands. I know it's hard sometimes when you're in discouragement to be positive, but the Lord has given us a promise that we can do it. Let us bow our heads. Lord, I just want to ask for your blessing upon this time, and I thank you. I've been greatly encouraged by hearing the blessings of others that you have shared with them. So may we keep in mind the things that you have done for us, Lord, that we may ourselves be encouraged. And as we share, may you open the ears of others that they may not just hear a story, but a testimony, the working of you in another life. And may they have their eyes open in their own life to see what you are working in them, for friends, for family, for neighbors, for strangers, Lord. Help us to be the people looking towards the good things you've done for us and not the negative, Lord. We need your help to change our minds and to transform us, but we know that you can do it. And be with any other special, things, requests in our hearts, Lord, that we have. Perhaps we're in a discouraging situation, but we know that you can pull us out of it, and then you can help us to see the good and even the darkest of clouds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.